Why does he let us go through these trials? Why doesn't he answer those requests that we bring to him to remove whatever it is that's causing that suffering? And so suffering can catch us off guard. It can trip up a lot of people in their relationship with God. This spring, I had a list of projects that I wanted to do at our hunting property, and one of the machines I use is our side-by-side. And so this spring, things were going fine with those different projects, but one day I went out to do some spraying with that side-by-side, and I drove it out, and it drove just fine up to the spot where I was going to spray. Until I got there and the motor didn't idle down, and so I had to hold my foot on the brake or it would have just kept on going forward, and I couldn't shift it out of gear and put it into neutral, so I shut it off, put it in neutral, and started it again. When I did, I heard these popping and banging noises in the engine, and it died, and I couldn't get it started again. And after bringing it into the shop and having somebody look at it, it turned out to be a mouse nest that got sucked into the engine and left me without the side-by-side for about a month. And so that threw me off. And that's not necessarily a suffering or a big suffering, but it threw me off. And suffering can have a similar effect in our lives on a much deeper level. Things are going along just fine, and then something happens that we weren't expecting. Something that causes pain. So it could be an accident, it could be a disease, it could be a death in the family or so on, and it really throws us off. It can be very confusing and leave us disoriented and not sure what we should do. It can lead to many questions of God and cause us to question God. There are some, as I've been a pastor and just kind of walked with people through suffering, some people just barely make it through, and they just kind of get on the other side of whatever suffering they're going through, and it's like, you know, just survived barely. Others end up abandoning their faith. I've heard different tragic stories of people who, because of the suffering they or somebody else went through, they abandoned their faith. So the question, I think, for all of us is how prepared are we to go through suffering as Christians? Okay, are you prepared for when the next wave of suffering is going to come? Maybe you're in a season of suffering and confusion right now. Do you have a clear understanding of Christian suffering to give you solid ground to stand on when it comes? Do you know a lot of people in the Bible suffered? There's a lot written about suffering, and there are a lot of people in the Bible who stood firm through incredible suffering, deep suffering. How were they prepared? This morning, as we look at 2 Corinthians, Paul was one of those people, by the way. We're going to see how he was doing after coming through one of the most intense seasons of suffering that he had gone through up to this point in his life. We aren't given many details about why he was suffering, but we can piece together a few things. And he says, in what we're going to look at later, that he was suffering so much that he despaired of life itself. He thought he was going to die. He thought that in God's, you know, sovereign control in his life, God had decided this is when he was going to die. He was convinced of that. It didn't happen. But that's how bad it got. And you know, Paul went through a lot of suffering, and for this to be one of the worst times, it's saying something. So the question that I want us to ask as we approach the beginning of this book is, how would Paul think about God after being through such an intense season of suffering? Would he be filled with confusion and disorientation and disillusionment and think about abandoning the faith? Would he just barely make it through? Okay, Paul's an expert in suffering. And my hope is that the teaching we're going to look at today is going to help formulate an accurate understanding of suffering and give us a way that will help us when we face suffering. It will help prepare us when we go through suffering to be able to endure it like he did. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just want to read the greeting, just to read it in the first couple of verses. It says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is a pretty typical greeting. These types of greetings are typical in Greek letters and in Paul's letters. It gives us the author, Paul, along with kind of a co-author or someone who is accompanying him, which was Timothy. It's written to the church in Corinth and the area surrounding it that was associated with this letter. We looked at the historical background leading up to this letter last week, and I encourage you, if you missed that message, to go back on the internet, on our website, and listen to that, because it's vitally important for being able to understand what's going on and why Paul writes what he does. So go back and listen to that if you haven't already. So now he begins, after this greeting, here's how Paul felt and thought about God after coming through a time of terrible suffering, perhaps the worst suffering he had been through based on the way he describes it. Here's what he says about God. Verse 3 and following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Okay? This is not a man who is disillusioned, disoriented, and about ready to abandon the faith, is it? This is a man who had confidence and hope. I want you to notice the theme in these verses. So he talks about affliction and suffering clearly, but the overwhelming theme isn't suffering. The overwhelming theme is comfort. So if you look at, I have a screen, the next one shows the word comfort underlined. Okay? He uses the word comfort 10 times in these verses. He was overcome not by the suffering that he was going through, but he was overcome by the comfort that he received while going through it. And so as he begins, he actually praises God, not as the Father of confusion and God of all uncertainty, but as the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So that's who he knew God to be after going through this intense period of suffering. And I believe he was able to think that way because by God's grace, he was armed with a biblical understanding of suffering when he went through it. He was prepared to suffer, an understanding that he then describes in these verses. So again, how well prepared are you for the suffering that's coming in your life? In Paul's understanding, when it came to Christian suffering, there were two guarantees that he spells out in these verses, and we need to see both of them. I think most of us see, if you've grown in Christian maturity and biblical understanding, you'll see this first one, but it's the second one especially I want us to see. First guarantee is that you are going to suffer. So suffering is a guarantee. You're not going to hear the prosperity gospel here this morning, okay? You're not going to read about the prosperity gospel in the Bible because suffering is a guarantee. Paul writes about it as an expectation. It wasn't a surprise at all to him. It didn't take him off guard. It didn't throw him off. It was expected. Christ suffered, therefore Christians will suffer. In fact, if you look at verse 5, he says that we will share abundantly in Christ's sufferings. I could have looked at, quoted several passages that guarantee Christian suffering. I didn't do that, but they're there. Paul didn't expect or assume that just because someone was a Christian, they wouldn't go through suffering. Like, oh, I'm you know, I'm a follower of Christ now. My life should go a lot easier. Paul didn't think that way. He didn't expect that. I think that is a reality that we as American Christians need to see. Think about it. If you were a Christian in first century Israel, maybe, or first century Rome, like Paul and the apostles were, you expected to suffer. In fact, if you expected probably to suffer more if you became a Christian. Your suffering would actually increase. It was part of becoming a Christian in that culture. And I think it's the same for many Christians today around the world. If you live in a communist country, you're probably going to expect that your suffering is going to increase. If you live in a predominantly Muslim country, your suffering is going to increase if you become a Christian. It's not a surprise. It's not an expectation. Your expectation is you're going to suffer. Becoming a Christian meant that. But I think many of us, have a different kind of mentality in America. We generally, so far, don't have to suffer that much for being a Christian, and I think that has become our expectation. And so when suffering comes, it seems out of place. Like it catches us off guard, it throws us off. We have often a faulty mentality that God's primary ministry to us when we're suffering should be to remove the suffering. Okay? So our prayers are often about take the suffering away, because our expectation is that God, that's what He wants to do. I don't think that's the way that Christians in the first century thought, or today Christians in countries where there's a lot of persecution. When Dave Tanell was just here a couple weeks ago, I've heard him say multiple times that the Christians in those countries don't, when they're asking for prayer, they're not asking for the removal of persecution. They're asking for faith and for strength to endure through it. And that's maybe a little bit odd for us to hear, because of you know, the blessings, I would say, that we've grown up in the peace that we've grown up in. We think God his primary ministry is to remove the suffering, but that's not a biblical mentality. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God can remove it, but the Bible teaches that Christians will continue to suffer in various ways and may even suffer more because of persecution. So God can do miracles. We read through the book of Acts and there's all these awesome miracles. He can remove suffering in miraculous ways like we see in Acts, but those are miracles. Okay, those are out of the ordinary supernatural occurrences. But the norm for Christians is that we're going to go through seasons of suffering. And that's the first reality. That's the first guarantee that we see in what Paul writes here. And I do think that many of us already know that, okay? We've kind of gone through those struggles of going through suffering, and we've prayed for God to remove it. He doesn't. And then we start to see more and more of the scriptures that show us that actually in this life you are going to suffer. You are going to struggle. And so I want us to see there's a second guarantee in here, in this passage, a guarantee that I think those of us who expect to suffer as Christians need to see, because it's not all about suffering. There's another guarantee that gets most of the attention, as I pointed out earlier. It's the theme in these verses, and I think it's this guarantee that enabled Paul to endure the suffering that he went through. Paul didn't persevere just because he knew he was going to suffer. So it's important to have that guarantee, like, yeah, suffering's going to be a part of this life, so I'm just going to put my head down and bear it and keep going. I don't think that's what Paul was doing. He didn't just lower his head and try to make it through. He also believed that in every suffering, in every season of suffering that he went through, he would also receive comfort from God, guaranteed. You go into suffering, you're going to receive comfort from God in that suffering. He's not going to abandon you to just have to stick your head down and make it through. You don't have to just survive God will meet you in that suffering and bring comfort to you in some way. And so that's the second guarantee. It's comfort in suffering that we see in these verses. Verse 5, "For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too." Verse 7, "Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort." Guaranteed. Okay, and what an amazing guarantee it is. I had conversations with at least two people this week who are going through intense, deep suffering that none of us ever want to go through. And it's like I met with them in light of these verses, and as I had those conversations, I'll share about one of them at the end, it's like they didn't just go through suffering. God was with them, and they both were testifying of God's comfort to them in the suffering, okay? Yes, you're going to go through suffering if you're a Christian, but along with that suffering, there will always be comfort from the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. That's why Paul used those attributes to, you know, bring blessing and honor to God at the beginning of this passage. He will always be there in your suffering to bring you comfort. God comforts us in all our affliction, Paul says. And this is a critical promise and a critical truth for us that I think we need to arm ourselves with. So I was trying to do that this week, and we need God's grace even to do that, but to remember, because it's so easy for us when we're suffering to focus on the suffering and the pain. And we think about the disappointment and the devastation, and you know, we get in this downward cycle, and that's what we look at, okay? But rather than wandering around in our suffering and be dazed and confused and disoriented with no idea about what's going on, and having kind of, I just picture that, you know, suffering comes and we're just, you know, going through like this. It's like, no, I think we need to go through suffering looking for, where is God going to show up here? Where is he going to bring me comfort? Because it's a guarantee, it's coming. How's he going to bring it? A much different way to go through suffering. I think that's what was going on with Paul when he went through that perilous time. So then the question is, how does God bring comfort? What should we be looking for? And I want to share several examples with you, some that I've just seen that people have experienced, and then I'll end on two that Paul brings up in this text. So one of the ways that he comforts us is by solving the problem and taking away that thing that's causing us to suffer, or solving the problem in some way. And God does that. It's probably the most obvious way that he brings comfort. It's probably the one we want the most. Just take that away. Like, we just want that the most. I'm reminded of Epaphroditus was somebody who became very dear to Paul, a friend of Paul's, but he got deadly ill. Like, Paul thought he was going to die, and Paul said that he would have had sorrow upon sorrow, suffering upon suffering, if Epaphroditus would have died. But in that case, Paul says, God healed him and saved me from the sorrow upon sorrow. So very deadly sick, God healed him, okay? And God has healed you at times, okay? And sometimes he brings comfort in that way, and he removes the problem. But many times, maybe most often, what I've seen both in biblical examples and in my own life and in the lives of others who have gone through suffering is that God brings comfort in other ways. There are many other ways other than just removing the problem that God brings comfort. And so here's some of the things that I've seen and heard. It might be through a friend who shows up at just the right time. Have you ever got a phone call at just the right time, or a friend who maybe stopped by, a family member? Maybe I hear this on KTIS often, where they'll talk about a song on the radio pops up just when you need it. Like, it's exactly what you need to hear. There was a song this morning that brought me, God brought me comfort through that song. It's like, oh man, is that new one? I needed to hear that. Like, I'm an addict to self-righteousness. Okay. And God, I think, is breaking me of that. And it stinks. Okay. It's painful. But I needed to be reminded of that, that he does that, but he brings mercy. He's not just like, you self-righteous slug. No, he's gracious. It's a good thing. And he brought me comfort through that song. Okay, so it might be a song on the radio that's just perfect. It might be, see what I have next here, if I can turn the page, a gift that shows up unexpectedly. Something shows up in the mail. I've heard people who had a financial need and a check just showed up, or some other gift that nobody really knew that you needed at that exact time except for God, and he got it to you. One of the ways that God comforted Paul leading up to him writing 2 Corinthians, and I mentioned this last week, was when Titus showed up and brought him good news about what was happening in Corinth, and Paul says that brought wonderful comfort and consolation to him. He showed up at just the right time. Paul was in the midst of and just coming through this horrible suffering, and then Titus shows up bringing good news, and God comforted Paul through that. He can also, maybe in a time of prayer or devotional time, he just brings supernatural peace. Philippians 4:4, that peace, or somewhere in there, that peace that surpasses understanding. Like, it doesn't make sense. I shouldn't feel peace right now. It's a supernatural peace that God just gives you in that time of prayer and bringing your requests before him, that he then guards your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So there's many ways that God brings comfort in the midst of suffering. But I want to look at a couple things Paul brings up in our passage that brought comfort to him that we need to see as well. And the first shows up in verse 4. And he says this, "Who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Okay, so I think Paul could see there's purpose behind suffering, because it's not just suffering, it's comfort in suffering. And then God can use the comfort that I received in my time of suffering when I see somebody else going through a similar type of suffering. God can actually use me to bring comfort. I can be an agent of comfort in that situation. I think that brought comfort to Paul. Okay, he knew his sufferings would be purposeful. And those of us who have gone through suffering, I believe many of us have found that to be true as well. We can use our experiences and the comfort we receive. And so God puts people in our paths who are suffering so that we can comfort them, we can empathize with them, and we can help them and share testimony of how God showed up for us and know that he's going to be there for you in the same thing. That brings comfort. And so I think that's where what Paul says in verse 6 is how that applied to him in the Corinthians, when he says, if we, me and Timothy, if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. And so I think Paul could see that God was using both the afflictions that he was going through and the comfort that he received while he was going through that to bring comfort to the Corinthians and help them persevere when they would go through the same kind of persecution and suffering that they went through. And that's one of the ways that God comforted Paul. I thought about it in terms of this. If you knew, if you're a parent with children, if you knew that God was going to use your suffering and your testimony of God's comfort to you in it to help your kids endure in the future when they go through suffering, would that bring you comfort? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, if I have to go through this now so I learn about your comfort so that later on I can share and give testimony to my kids when they're going through suffering, okay. Yeah, thank you, God. You can use this. It's not a waste. No suffering is a waste. OK? Okay, we'll see that this other thing that he writes. Okay, so there's one more thing about God's comfort, at least, that at least the one I'm going to point out. And we see this in verses 8 through 11. So here's where, I've alluded to this, but here's where Paul talks about the intense suffering that he just went through and how God brought comfort in a particular way in the midst of it. It says this in verses 8 through 11, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia." Remember last week, Paul had been in Ephesus for 3 years, which was in Asia, and then he did this loop around to on his way to Corinth. And while he was in Asia, apparently affliction. "For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." I don't think Paul ever says anything like that in any of his other writings. "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril." So that's one of the ways he did deliver them, okay? But he didn't just deliver them, he also taught them. There was revelation going on in the midst of the suffering. "And he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many." Which, a side note, I think, here is that Paul expected God to use prayers to help them through, but the comfort I want us to, and there can be comfort in that, the comfort I want us to see here is that when Paul went through this horrible time of suffering, he learned a critical lesson, and so God used that suffering to teach him and his companions what he says is to rely on God, not on themselves, okay, to put their hope in him, to deliver them, and not be hoping in themselves. And so that suffering was a life-changing experience for Paul, and he learned it, a good thing that he learned, and he learned it through perhaps the worst suffering that he had been to up to that point. And so when I look at that, I see that God comforted him. How did he comfort him? By giving him a deeper revelation of truth that Paul realized could only come through suffering. Man, there's one season of suffering I went through, and I think many of you can relate. It ended with revelation. It's like, oh my goodness. Like God just opened my eyes to what he was doing in that suffering and what he was teaching me, and it had to do it with my self-reliance thing. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like, I don't ever want to go through that again. And yet, you used it to do something in me deeper than that never would have happened. That revelation of my deep-rooted sin of self-righteousness never would have happened if I wouldn't have been brought through that time of suffering. And therefore, thank you, God. And thank you that I'm on the other side of that one, okay? Suffering, in Paul's case, revealed the hidden sin of self-reliance and his need to rely on God instead. There are things we can only see through suffering. Deep-rooted sins, maybe, aspects of God's character, treasures of biblical wisdom. God uses suffering to bring deeper revelation and spiritual growth. And when you see him doing that, you can see that he's actually bringing comfort to you by showing you this isn't wasted. I love you. I'm doing this for a reason. And it made me think of my boys right now are going to Dell's house. Okay? They have a name for it. Maybe I won't share that. But they're going to Dell's house a couple nights a week so he can put them through various forms of suffering / torture. Okay? And so they're flipping these big tractor tires, They're swinging sledgehammers. They're carrying telephone poles. They're dragging tires strapped to their backs. They're pulling these heavy objects, their lungs and their muscles are burning. They're sore afterwards. They get blisters. They're sweating profusely. Doesn't it just sound awful? Somebody, I think, may have even thrown up or got close to it, and yet they keep going. Why? Because they know that Dell is using suffering to make them stronger, faster, tougher, all the things that they need to reach their goal in sports, and the only way that can happen is through suffering. Now, flip that into our spiritual lives, Christianity. God uses suffering to accomplish his goal, which is to make us more like Christ. Christ became who he was through suffering. We're going to suffer. God uses it to make us stronger, like Jesus, the one we're seeking to become like down. God breaks us down so he can build us up. He breaks us down to strip away things like self-reliance and other sins and tendencies that we have, and he uses that time to open our eyes to things we otherwise wouldn't see so that we grow and become more like Jesus. And it is hard, it is painful, but it is good. And so, from what Paul writes here at the beginning of the letter, we see suffering is a guarantee. We don't like to hear that. But there's another guarantee that you've got to grab onto, and this is the main point here. God's comfort in your suffering is a guarantee as well. And we've seen all kinds of ways that we can experience that, but we have to be looking. And so my encouragement this morning for you is to arm yourselves with that way of thinking so that you will be prepared for the seasons of suffering that are sure to come. You don't have to be dazed and confused as you go through that. There will be confusion, okay? It's not all going to make sense. But you don't have to be overwhelmed and only focus on your pain and the suffering that you're going through, which is so easy for us to do. You can look for God's comfort. Where is it? Where is it going to be coming? Look for God's comfort in the midst of it so that you can endure. And then God can use you to encourage others who are going through the same type of suffering. And so just a story to end here. As I was studying this week, start to tear up here. It's unbelievable. Like, I've got a friend, and many of you know him. Some of you are going to know. I'm not going to use his name because I didn't ask him specifically. But man, he's gone through all kinds of suffering in the past year and a half. So major health problems, like horrible stuff for both he and his wife. He said over 150 doctor appointments, okay? Deaths in the family, major problems in his business, and so on. And so as I'm studying this week, I'm thinking of him, and it's like, I got to call him. I just got to see how he's doing. And so I called, and I'm totally expecting to hear all about his heaviness and his discouragement, and I'm expecting to hear just bad news. And you know what? All I got was praise to God. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, it was all just praise. 30 minutes. He couldn't stop talking about all the things that God had done for him, both of them, in the midst of their suffering. So he comforted them through worship music, through deeper insight into Scripture, through revelations and dreams, through lessons learned, through stronger faith, through peace, through confidence in the future. The only reason he stopped is because he had to make another scheduled call, so he had to hang up. It's like he just went on and on, praising God. And it, like the stuff he went through, it's like it would just crush you. If you didn't have hope, he had hope, and we have hope. You have hope in your suffering, and it's God, and he's going to comfort you, and he's going to be there, and he's going to bring it. And so arm ourselves with that way of thinking so that we can be like Paul and come through it and be, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. That's who I know God to be. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for who you are. It's beautifully written about in these verses and demonstrated in Paul's life and beautifully demonstrated in the lives of many people who I'm looking out at this morning, who I know have gone through deep suffering but have experienced your comfort in it. Thank you that you always show up. And I pray that when we go through suffering, my brothers and sisters, myself, when we go through suffering, if the confusion and the disorientation and disillusionment starts, you would be quick to put in our minds that reminder that I am here and I will comfort you. I am your good Father. I am the Father of mercy and God of comfort, and I will not let you go through this alone. Help us to see the ways that you show up and bring comfort, and help us to glory in you. In Jesus' name, amen.